Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child. This is out of the big book, by the way, page 55. Deep down in every man, woman, child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstration of that power in human lives are as fact as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as a feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much of a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. It is in the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. Now, if the big high mucky muck can come up with that, this is the greatest information that you will ever have on the third step. Deep down, he's here, he's always been, and that's where he will be found. Thank you for your attendance, and let's go to lunch. Lynette, where do we go? What do we do? There she is. Anybody in this fellowship who has come up to and said, whoa, I want to do that four step. You know why we don't want to do the four step? You know what comes next. It's not a matter of writing the four step, is it? It's a matter of the fifth step. Step four made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let's look first at some of the reasons not to. We like to wallow in our mess. We get pleasure out of it. My sponsor said to me once, and it made me so upset, but it's the truth. She looked me dead in the eye and she said, Benoy, your life is exactly the way that you want it, or else you would do something about it now. Well, that cuts you up short every time, doesn't it? But she didn't really, really understand. Two, self-righteousness or grandiosity. Now, all this is coming out of the books, by the way, 12 of 12. We shall point with pride. It's not me, it's the drinker. I haven't done anything wrong. If he or she or they would just quit drinking, everything would be all right. Is this correct? How could we possibly do anything wrong when the alcoholic is ripping our life apart? Three, our present troubles are caused by the drinker and other people. If they shaped up, we aren't the guilty ones, they are. Blame. Blame, blame, blame. We'd rather blame than take a look at ourselves. It's one of the words you have to drop from your vocabulary. Hey, girlfriend. No more blame. It's gone. You cannot have that in your vocabulary. There are times when people use a word too often, they have to write that word on a piece of paper and hand it to me. It's no longer theirs. It's a good little exercise if you're tired of hearing the whining. Get them to write it on a piece of paper, give it to you, and it's just, they won't use it. Am I disturbing you girls? But talking, you want me to hush? It's somebody else's sponsor, I can do that. Four, pride. Pride says you need not pass this way. It's a pride that is not a pride of how we should look. It's this pride of, or the grandiosity of, I'm okay, and I cannot let you know that I'm not okay. It's the one word that an Al-Anon cannot say. It's the W word that gets stuck in your throat. I'm wrong. Can't be said by an Al-Anon. Just can't be said. I'm sorry can be said a lot. I'm sorry, 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 I'm sorry. Why do you say I'm sorry all the time? Why do you say it? Do it again. Feel sorry. What else? Looks good. What else? What else? What? Makes peace. And what? You deserve it because you are sorry. Yeah. All these things come into who, what make us up. But we can't say I'm wrong. I thought I'd disintegrate or something. I don't know what I thought. Just poof off into the universe if I said I was wrong. I'd disappear, I guess. Fear. How many people have fear? I don't think there's not one hand that isn't up. We're eat up by it, aren't we? Self-justification. Excuses, excuses, excuses. I do it because he did, she said, they said. Well, if you hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have done. And many other things. Trust. I had a gal. Oh, man. I have such trust issues. I love what my sponsor says. I've been coming before there was any issues. We used to have character defects here, but now they're issues. And a dysfunctional family and all these great words that have drifted by and through. If you have such a huge fear of trusting another human being, I would suggest that you might look at this is the reason you're so fearful of trust. It's because you're not trustworthy. And because of your own actions of not being trustworthy, you assume that you can trust nobody because everybody's the same way. What if you trust somebody? What if you tell them everything there is to tell about you and they go tell everybody? What's going to happen to you if they do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I have had everything said about me that can be said. Stuff has been said about me that I didn't do, didn't think of, didn't dream of. I have been quoted by and fixed by and turned upside down and twisted and turned. And what's happened to me? Nothing. I'm still right here. I'll tell you my fifth step from the podium. I don't care. Because I'm not that same human being. It just doesn't matter. That person, the sick person that I was and came to you, you have healed. And I'm in the process and continue to be in the process of being transparent. I want to be transparent, as my good friend Bob White said. Our goal here is to be transparent. And the only way that I have accomplished this with the people that I know of is to take an inventory and share that with myself, another human being, and God, and then it's healed. And it just ain't, it's not important. It's not important. The 12 and 12 says, step four is but a beginning of a lifetime practice. It can be suggested that the first we have a look at those personal flaws which are actively troublesome and fairly obvious, like resentment, fear, and sex. I have this very small book of 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. There's a bigger one, but this is a small one. It has tremendous questions in here to ask to help you look at the areas that you need to look in. Now, I have seen 4-step guides out the kazoo over the years. I've seen people who have thought up of a 12-step guide, who have gone down and had them printed up and sold them. I've seen, there's a guy in L.A. that has an index book, one of these books like I've got, great big. He's got graphs, take a piece of pie out of this. He's got dots and diddles and columns and checks and dings and bells, and he sells it. He has a seminar on the fourth step. All day long seminar, and sells it. Where's that bucket? Pass it again. I think I deserve a little money for this. That's just about the way it is. There is all kinds of literature out there on the fourth step. But I would suggest to you that you keep it into the experts who died for us and who have lived for us and who have decided this is the best way to do this, and they have not changed that since 1939. I don't know, I'm not good in arithmetic. That's a long time. It has worked perfectly since 1939, over and over and over, for those who have worked it. So don't go out there and get all this stuff. And I got a new little chickadee, and she's new to me, but she's been around for a while, and she called me the other day, and I just had her for a few weeks, and she said, there is a seminar this weekend on da-da-da-da. I think I'll go. And I said, well, I think that's fine. That's what you want to do. And let me tell you what that seminar is going to do for you. It's going to make you feel really good and really high for about a week or two. And then you forget what was said and what they did, and then you'll be back into the dumps. Now, what are you going to do 2 or 3 weeks from now? And you spent $230. It's a temporary fix for what the big book in the AA's 12 and 12 has outlined for us. So if you don't know how, ask your sponsor, number one, and she will show you the big book, which is lined out how we do it, tells you what to write on, and then the 12 and 12 has a lot of questions to answer. The big book says, resentment is the number one offender. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. We overcome this disease, we have to straighten out physically, mentally, and spiritually. Out of the 12 and 12 says, I should have been smart enough to let you know to bring these books. I was not, and I apologize for that, because I've got little bings and dings and dangs and no pies, but I've got all this other check marks on this. On page 48 of the 12 and 12, it says, I like this, let's ponder over the list to look at our personalities. Or if you would like, call them an index of maladjustments. I like that one. I have an index of maladjustments. Doesn't that sound better than character defects? To avoid falling into confusion over the names of these defects and what they should be called, let's take a universal look at the ones that we usually talk about, the seven deadly sins: pride, greed, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth. It says, it is not by accident that pride heads this procession. For pride, leading to self-justification, always spurred by conscious or unconscious fears, is the basic breeder of most human difficulties, the chief block to our true progress. Fear. Resentment. Resentment covers up fear. The big book list, most of you know, the chart. They have this little chart. I have personally never done it. We didn't do it back when I was new, and I've just never done it. It's the three columns. I'm resentful at the cause and effects my. And then I've heard a mysterious in some people's book, it's not in mine, the fourth column. Have y'all heard the fourth column? There's a fourth column. Amazes me what people come up with. There's three columns here. I'm resentful at the cause affects mine. Three columns. Then they say, and then the fourth column, and it's logical, the fourth column out there, they're calling it's my part, which of course you look at, but it's not in here. And this is on resentments. You make a list of the people you resent first, and then why. And it says affects my. Example, I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. The cause, his attention to my wife, told my wife about my mistress. Brown may get my job at the office. Effects my is the next column. Sex relations, self-esteem, fear. Now, I, when I was new, was not aware enough to figure out what anything affected. I did not know self-esteem. I didn't know what that word was. Never had heard of it till I got in these rooms. So that did not work for me when I was new. And these columns are only for resentments. If you'll turn the couple of pages over in the big book, it talks about fear. On page 68, it says that resentments lead to fears. It says, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper. So evidently, when it got to fears, he intended for you to write about what you were afraid of. And then the same thing goes for the next one down at the bottom of page 68, now about sex. We put those on paper. It is written in here 17 times, written is stated in here, that we write. So evidently they really wanted us to write about resentment, fears, and sex. And the way that I did it, and the way I was told to do it, and the way that I suggest, is you start writing about everything you can remember about fears, sex, and resentments from childhood on up. Talk about how you resented your mom and dad, the fears of your mom and dad, what kind of sexual things went on in your childhood. Who molested you? Everybody's been molested. How'd you find out about masturbation? Everybody does that. I just almost fell under the table when somebody mentioned that one time. God, dog. We were at we were at this conference this weekend, and this woman was the speaker, and I mean she was a speaker, and she just left nothing unturned. And they invited her to our room. There's a whole slew of us in the room, and we had bunk beds. And she was talking about sexual things then. And I'm telling you, you know how I sit in the audience when the speaker's going, I go, when you identify, you know how you do that? That night I went. I did not want my head to move one inch. I did not look to the right. I did not look to the left. I looked straight at her. I did not blink. I knew there was a TV here, and I knew my life was flashing in front of this woman, and she was reading it. I was sick at my stomach. And she mentioned how everybody masturbates. I thought, my word, she can't do that in public. I mean, you just can't say that word. Two women left the conference. They went and got their husbands, and they left the conference. There was trash going on in this place. Now, Oprah talks about it. Jerry Springer talks about it. You know, I mean, it's just the big deal. It's no big deal anymore. I mean, it's just everywhere. Let it go, Vinoy. Just let it go. Something flashed through my head that I should not say at all. So we get these things, and we know that we are not different. We talk about these things, and this lady helped us and gave us this information. And once you have the information, an inventory is not that scary. I have listened to a lot of inventories, and let me tell you, they're boring. There's nothing different. Nobody's done anything different. In all the years that I've been listening to inventories, there's one thing I really wished I hadn't heard. Only one thing. And it was not from an Al-Anon, it was from an alcoholic who chose me to share this inventory with. And I wish I hadn't heard that, because it was information I really, it was like a legal thing. And I don't know if y'all heard this, several years ago, this guy spilled the beans in an AA meeting about, you remember it was on television, I think, and everywhere, about a crime that he committed in an AA group, and they took a little group conscious afterwards and went and told the police, which they should have. They really should have. But then it was this big controversy of blah, 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 blah. Now, why did I bring that up? us Al-Anons have never done anything that would possibly cause us any kind of problem like that. We're such above that trash. So this is what I did. I wrote about the fears. I wrote about the resentments. I wrote about the sex. I absolutely wrote everything I could possibly write on a legal yellow pad, except a couple of things. There's a couple of things that the AA talks, 1212 talks about, take it to the grave stuff. I mean, there's enough on there to, I mean, man, that, I just didn't need these other couple of things. Just leave those, just leave those off. This same weekend, this same woman that I'm talking to y'all about talked about it from the podium. And I had to go talk to her and then go talk to my sponsor. It's really funny. After she talked, I was just miserable. This lady had talked, was this Friday night speaker. I was miserable. My sponsor said, you need to go talk to her. So I did. And the lady says, well, do you need to take your fifth step? And I said, oh, no, I just finished a few weeks ago. And she said, well, let's get to what you left out then. Scared me. And I'm a new person in Al-Anon. I thought, she can read minds. I mean, she can. I was frightened. How did she know? And I finished that, and she said, you need to go back and tell your sponsor. So I did. I have discovered that there are absolutely no new sins, no new nothing with us. We all, as Al-Anons, have just about the same characteristics. That's why we're all in this room together. We're weird, and we're together here because we basically do all the same things, have all the same thoughts, and are addicted to the same disease, the alcoholism. We're addicted to that. And once we can get that concept, it is so great. And once we get the concept of what makes us up, it's easier for us to change those things. Marcy White, which is a great, great, great grand sponsor of mine, had a list of isms one time, and she read them, and it just fascinated me. So I made the list and have worked on it through the years, and it is, I mean, there's no difference. It's just the same thing. And here's the list as I have seen it and have experienced it and heard from her. This is untreated Al-Anon isms. Remember the alcoholism, they talk about the isms of alcoholism? A man said this one time. He had a meeting on, and the subject was what makes up an alcoholic. And they all went around the room, and everybody, you know, shared. And when they got back to him, he said, you know, the one thing that has not been, nobody mentioned was drinking. Nobody mentioned drinking makes up an alcoholic. They talked about all the isms. And I thought that's so fascinating, because what we do is talk about the problem and not the isms. And here's what we've come up with. Self-centeredness / self-involvement. Martyr. Knowing best. I know best. The denial / our blind spots. Low self-image. Low self-esteem, self-pity, resentments, blaming and complaining, always having to be right. How many hours do you spend trying to prove you're right? I mean, Gemini, for instance, we're taking a walk, and we go to the dead end of the street. I automatically turned left, and he turned right. And I said, no, 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 we don't want to go that way. He said, yeah, we do. I said, no, we don't. And we stood there telling each other why it was right to go this way, and he said go that way. I mean, we were there 30 minutes explaining to each other which was the right way. I won. Fear, 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 fear. Frustration. We get so frustrated. Just let them do it. I'm so frustrated. Okay, have your way. Just wear me down. Do they not? Just wear you down. Just depression. Expectations. addicted to excitement. Good or bad, addicted to excitements. Take life too serious. Humorless. No humor. Dramatic. Drama queens. Kings. Vindictive. I never thought it was vindictiveness. I thought it was explaining to you exactly how much you've hurt me. As soon as we put ourselves on the back burner. As soon as I take care of you, I might take care of me. As soon as this happens, I will take care of me. As soon as this gets fixed, as soon as. And the last two I save for laugh all the time because I think it's our sickness to the nth degree. Control. The drinker drinks, we control. They drink to get rid of their fears, their insecurities. We control to get rid of our fears and insecurities. All the things that you read about the big book, about the alcoholic drinking, da-da-da, it's our controlling, da-da-da. Control, control. And the fear of abandonment. We put up with absolutely anything because of the fear of abandonment. Now, when you get all this and you get it down on paper and start reading it, everybody comes at it a little different way, but it's all the same thing. Our inventories are basically the same. There's no new nothing. Some waited till the fleet come in, and some said hi to the football team, you know? I mean, they're just... There's no difference. We have hurt ourselves in many, many ways. I believe that timing for an inventory is critical. There was a lady in our group that was there forever. I mean forever and ever and ever. Very, very active. Just backbone of that group. She did not take an inventory until she was like 17, 18 years. She took an inventory. It was way too late. It was too late. And she started using another disease to help her. She ate herself to death. Literally ate herself to death. I believe you can take it too soon. I believe in this. I believe it takes the first year to set in the program, to hear what we're saying here, to learn the language, to learn to say anonymity. And autonomous and all that stuff. It takes that much time to sit in open AA meetings to understand the disease of alcoholism. It takes that long to start feeling comfortable just walking into a meeting by yourself. And it takes that long to take the first three steps. Around a year, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever you want to, I believe, in my experience, is a good time for an inventory. Now, that's just mine. You may have different, but that's what I have discovered that works real well. This book, The 12 and 12, gives you reasons not to. It gives you reasons to, and it tells you what the results are going to be if you take an inventory. Page 53 of The 12 and 12, AA's 12 and 12. Is a form of our twisted relations with family and friends and society at large that many of us have suffered the most. We have been especially stupid and stubborn about them. I showed this to my husband many times. The primary fact that we fail to recognize our total inability to form true partnership with another human being. I'm going to read that again because those of us in this fellowship need to know this. Whether it will be Al-Anon, Al-Ateen, alcoholic. This is one of our things. The primary fact that we fail to recognize is our total inability to to form a true partnership with another human being. Because of all of our isms, our enigma digs two disastrous pitfalls. Either we assist on dominating the people we know, or we depend on them far too much. If you be alcoholic or be Al-Anon, those things can happen. If we lean too heavily on people, they will sooner or later fail us, for they are humans too and cannot possibly meet our incessant demands. In this way, our insecurity grows and festers. When we habitually try to manipulate others to our own willful desires, they revolt and resist us heavily. Then we develop our hurt feelings, a sense of persecution and a desire to retaliate. As we redouble our efforts at control and continue to fail, our suffering becomes acute and constant. We have not once sought to be in a family. We have not once sought to be a friend among friends, to be a worker among workers, to be a useful member of society. Now, this is our dilemma. This is our inventories. This is what should be put down on our paper. Then it goes on to tell you in step five how to get rid of all this stuff. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. If we skip this, what will happen? Right. And if you don't take a fifth step, there you are. What else? You'll leave. Did somebody say you'll leave? Yeah, you'll leave. Absolutely. You don't think you can cut it. How many of you have taken a fifth step and at that moment felt you finally belonged to this fellowship? I fit now. I belong. Look at that. Half the room. That's it. That's one of the values of it. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome our phoniness, controlling, or drinking, says the 12 and 12. So why should we take it? This is some of the reasons the 12 and 12 are listing. So we can deflate the ego. Get rid of that terrible sense of isolation. We can then start having the sense of belonging. We'll get the feeling of forgiveness no matter what we thought or what we did. We will forgive others. We will learn about humility. We become real and honest. And I have out here / the Velveteen Rabbit. I don't know how many of you have ever read this little child's book, The Velveteen Rabbit. If you have not, I highly suggest you go to a bookstore this weekend and get The Velveteen Rabbit and read it. It's a little kid's book. It's the most awesome thing. Need outside help if we are to surely know and admit the truths about ourselves. That's why we need to take a fifth step. When honest with another human, we are truly honest with ourselves. People of very high spiritual development always insist on checking with others for guidance from God, and that's why we admit to ourselves, to another people, and person in God. Now, who do we tell this to? Why? Why do you tell it to your sponsor? Accountability. They've been there. One person needs to know all of you. You can tell this one a little bit, and then go tell this one a little bit, tell this one a little bit, and you get a little bit of relief, don't you? But not everybody knows all of you. Not everybody knows how cunning and manipulative, and that you're a martyr, and that you can't say that I know best, and that you're wrong. All those things, right? So it's important that you take a fifth step with one person. out of my part of the country, they've done something that just fascinates me. I mean, it fascinates me. They say for about 6 months, well, I'm working on my inventory. Well, I'm in the middle of my inventory. Well, 3 months later, well, I'm trying to finish my inventory. And this is why I'm so crazy. I'm on my inventory. 6 months, they're writing a little bit each night. I would slit my throat and bleed to death. It is like, for me, going to have surgery. Make the incision from stem to stern. Oops, wait a minute. Put a Band-Aid over it. I got to go to work. I'll be back in the morning for this surgery. I'll go back in the morning. Okay, take the Band-Aid. Split me open again. Whoops, wait a minute. I got to go back to work. Put two Band-Aids on. I'll be back in the morning. I cannot imagine anything more miserable or horrible or totally useless. You're not going to write about yourself for 6 months. I don't know where they get that. Sit down with a pencil and piece of paper some Saturday afternoon or some Sunday afternoon when everybody's gone and say, God, guide my pen at the top of that and start writing. And when you get through, call your sponsor and say, I've got the fifth step. I mean, my inventory done. Can we do a fifth step and go over and do it? And when you get through, man, you skip, you jump, you hop. You feel like a whole new person. The reason we do it is to get healed. And that one person that y'all just talked about has been there and can do it for you, just like it was done for me, like I've done for others. There's absolutely nothing more magnificent than listening to someone's fifth step and watching the change that happens to them. I guarantee you, I forget most of it. I don't remember hardly anybody's fifth step. A few of them, it's like, whoa, I wish I'd thought of that, you know. I heard one the other day. She got food coloring when he was drunk one night and put it in strategic places just in case he was going to go somewhere and do something he shouldn't if he stripped. Red and green stuff. I thought, boy, I wish I'd have thought of that. She colored her husband's, what you call it, with red and green food coloring. It doesn't come off real quick. I use saltpeter. That was in a fifth step. I used it. I was pregnant, and I was getting too big and too uncomfortable, and I didn't want him going any place, so I fed him saltpeter and the mashed taters. And I took it, too, and I was really worried it might have done something to my son, so I fessed up and found out it wasn't a problem. But you find fascinating things in fifth steps, and most of it, like I say, it just goes away. I don't remember that stuff. I just don't. I think I would be so bogged down that spiritually I couldn't if I remembered it. And anytime somebody comes, I ask God just to take it and use me as a channel. And what we do is we read out of the big book what to do when you need to take a fifth step. Oh, Lord, it's going to take me forever to find it. Okay. Page 72. Having made a personal inventory, what should we do about it? We've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part. Okay. This is probably difficult, expressing our defects with another person. We think we have done well in admitting the things to ourselves. There's no doubt about it, but you do need to find somebody else. And then it tells you who to take it with. And then on page 75. When we decide to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, now this is some reasons to take the fifth step. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone and at perfect peace and ease. Do y'all remember the first night you got a full night's sleep? It was a spiritual experience, a full night's sleep, whether he came in or whether he didn't come in. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. That feeling that the drink problem and our control problem has disappeared will come very strongly to us. We feel like we're on a broad highway walking hand in hand with the universe. Then it tells us what to do. When we get through with this, when we returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour. And I point this out to people. It doesn't say 10 minutes or 30 minutes. It says an hour. We go someplace for quiet time. Carefully review what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down, it says taking this book down. Of course, they have it with them. We turn to the page which has the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything. For we are building an ark from which we shall walk a free man and woman at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement to the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Now this is awesome, awesome stuff. How do you hear somebody's inventory? How do you do that? I remember my first one, I was so frightened because I wanted to be so perfect, you know? Because it was so perfect for me when I finally got it, and I had such a spiritual experience, I was nuts trying to make everything just perfect. Crazy. And I finally called my sponsor. I've done this and that. And she said, you know, why don't you just let God take care of this? And it's very hard. You're not going to screw it up. You cannot screw this up. The only thing you do, the only thing you ever have to do, the only thing I ever have to do is just do what was done for me. You can't screw that up. So I opened the door.